Job's faith is going to crack. It's going to fail. Job is going to completely wash his hands of God. He's going to renounce God. He's going to lose his faith. Now, I wonder if you have undergone such a time when you felt that your faith was going to crack. If so, you can identify with this book of Job. And ladies and gentlemen, I oftentimes, as I read this book of Job, picture him being like a big, mighty tree, and this he's caught here in this tempest, and this big tree swaying in the wind, and Job sways in the wind. Now, there's some people who will tell you that if you have enough faith, you won't have any problems in life. And ladies and gentlemen, Job was a man of faith, and he had severe problems. And you and I need to be aware of that. And as I have said to you, it appears as we read some portions of this book of Job that Job's faith is about to fail him. You may have felt that way. It could be that I'm addressing someone here this evening whose trials and hardships and burdens are so great that you feel as if you're not going to be able to keep your head above water, and you feel as if you're not going to be able to retain your faith, to hang on to your faith. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is, I say, where Job was. And Job in this book says some things that are almost frightening. I mean, Job gets angry. And he says things directly to God. He essentially says in one place that he wants God, he says to God, come down here and fight like a man. And I found myself, when I first got acquainted with this book of Job back years ago, found myself reading certain portions and saying, oh no, Job, don't say that. You don't know who you're dealing with here. You're dealing with the Almighty God. And you're inviting his wrath, you're inviting his displeasure. But Job here doesn't seem to hold back anything. He lets it rip, as we might say, and he expresses anger with God. And he says some things that are breathtaking in their implications. We come to the end of the 31st chapter of Job, and we find these words. The words of Job are ended. And we have to say that Job ended his words with a thundering affirmation of his own righteousness, and with the suggestion that God had failed him. Yes, he has said this throughout the book from time to time. But here in this 31st chapter, he says it again. I am righteous. I don't deserve to be suffering like this. And the fact that I am suffering like this means that God has failed me. Yes, right there in that 35th verse of chapter 31, he says, oh, that I had one to hear me. God won't hear me. Oh, that I had somebody to hear me. Here is my mark. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me, that my prosecutor had written a book. You understand what Job is saying? Job is saying, God won't hear me. He won't answer me. And he has done all of these things to me. He's like a prosecutor. He's like an accuser. I've been righteous, I've been faithful, and yet God has become my adversary. God has become my enemy, and he's accusing me, he's prosecuting me, and he's doing it without any explanation. I wish that he had written down in a book so I could read what it is that he has against me. And so Job, I say, and the words of Job end here with this 31st chapter, and Job ends his words with this resounding defense of his own righteousness, and with the unmistakable suggestion that God had not treated him fairly. And it is at this point, ladies and gentlemen, that this young man, Elihu, steps in. And Elihu begins to speak in chapter 32 of this book of Job. And be careful now when you come to the book of Job, how you interpret the book. There are some people who, because Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar failed to speak the message of God and failed to bring comfort to Job, there are some people who think that they have to find fault with Elihu. They think, well, these other three men failed to comfort Job. They failed to be true friends to Job. And so Elihu must have failed as well. And what I'm saying to you is, don't tar Elihu with the same brush that we must use on Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Judge Elihu not on the basis of what Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar said, but judge Elihu on the basis of what he said. And you're in for a wonderful surprise, brothers and sisters in Christ, when you read what Elihu says. You're in for this wonderful surprise. You'll find that Elihu speaks for God here. And Elihu proves himself to be a first-class theologian. And I just commend to you, if you find yourself distressed and depressed, downhearted and discouraged, I just commend to you the words of Elihu, which begin here in this 32nd chapter of Job, and go through, I think, chapter 37, yes. And then the Lord himself begins to speak in chapter 38. And Elihu, ladies and gentlemen, forms the bridge here between these three men who failed Job and God himself. And I say to you, judge Elihu on the basis of what he said, and you will be pleasantly surprised. And you will find Elihu unfolding great truths for Job to consider. But Job had just about come to the place where he said this: God has failed me, and there's nothing more to be said about the matter. God has failed me, and there's nothing more to be said. And here in this 36th chapter of the book of Job, you have Elihu continuing to speak, and he says, Job, you haven't spoken the last word about God. Job's words are ended, and Job has essentially said, God has failed me, and there's nothing more to be said. And notice what Elihu says in verse 2 of chapter 36. There are yet words to speak on God's behalf. There are yet words to speak on God's behalf. And it could very well be this evening that you are in such circumstances and such difficulties that you may have come to this conclusion that God has failed you, and it may seem to you to be an open and shut case, and you may be saying, God has failed me, and there's nothing more to be said about the matter. In my years as a pastor, I will tell you that I have come across many Christian people who are angry at God. They feel like God has failed them. And they would take their stand with Job, and they would take Job's words as their own. God has failed, the matter is open and shut, and there's nothing more to be said about it. To take my stand with Elihu, I know some of you are in real difficulty. I know some of you are carrying heavy burdens. I know some of you have heartaches that are beyond my ability to comprehend. And yet, with all of your heavy burdens, with all of your searing trials, with all of your perplexities and difficulties, I insist tonight on taking my stand with Elihu and saying to you that there's still something to be said for God. God has not failed you. There's still something to be said for God. And what is this thing that can be said for God? Well, we have it right there in that fourth verse. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. That's what Elihu said to Job when Job thought that he'd spoken the final word, and the final word is God has failed. Elihu steps in to say, Job, there's still something to be said for God, and here's the something to be said for God. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Yes, Elihu's talking here about God. Look back there in verse 2 where he says, there are yet words to speak on God's behalf. He says there in verse 3, I will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. And here's what he says, one who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Now, we've touched on this verse of Scripture in times past. I have referred to it. I recall having preached a sermon from Job chapter 37 some months ago and making mention of this particular verse at that time. But I want to just dwell on it a little bit tonight. This message was born out of my own, some of my own heartache, some of my own difficulties. I remember so well sitting at my desk a few weeks ago and feeling pain and anguish over some situations and trying to make sense of it all. And coming across this verse, when I was just about at the end of my rope, when I was just about at the bottom of the well, when I was just about at wit's end, and when I came across this verse, I knew I had to share it with the Emmanuel family, because I know that many of you are just about at the end of your rope, and you're just about at the bottom of the well. This verse fairly leaped off the page. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. And it was a tremendous consolation to me. And I'm sure that it was a tremendous consolation to Job when Elihu spoke these words to him. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Now let's explore this a little bit tonight. And I have a couple of things to say here about these words from Elihu to Job. I want to tell you, first of all, that Elihu was saying to Job that your trials, Job, come from one who is perfect in knowledge. Your trials come from one who is perfect in knowledge. And on the basis of this verse tonight, I want to say to you, my aching brother in Christ, my aching sister in Christ, that your trials come from one who is perfect in knowledge. Now, don't you know that if Elihu had approached Job before the calamities set in, and Elihu had said to Job, Job, do you believe that God is perfect in knowledge? Don't you know, Job would have said, oh yes, yes, if there's anything that I'm sure of, it's that God is perfect in knowledge. But Elihu did not speak these words before Job's trials. He spoke these words after the trials, while Job was still in the midst of the trials. And he says to him, Elihu says to him, Job, these trials come to you from one who is perfect in his knowledge. And don't you know that was extremely hard for Job to believe at that time? These trials come to me from one who is perfect in knowledge? Yes, your trials come to you perfect in knowledge. Now, what does it mean to be perfect in knowledge anyway? Well, it means to say that God is perfect in knowledge means that there aren't any gaps in His knowledge. Now, there are gaps in my knowledge. I mean, I know, it's truly impressive what I know. But there are gaps. There are gaps. I can speak very learnedly about several areas. But I have my gaps now. And some of you guys want to come walk up to me after church and you want to start talking. You say, let's talk about automobiles and engines. And that's a gap in my knowledge. I don't know. And I'll go further. I don't even care. That's a gap in my knowledge. There are some things I just don't know about. If you want to start talking to me about electricity, and don't try to explain this to me. I don't want to know. I don't know, and I don't want to know. You say, well, Pastor, here's what happens. You know, you flip on that light switch, and this happens, and that happens, and all I want to do is just flip on the light switch. I don't want to know. That's a gap in my knowledge. And on. But ladies and gentlemen, there is no gap in God's knowledge. No gap in God's knowledge. I like the way Francis Schaeffer put it so many years ago, and I've shared it so many times with the Emmanuel family. Francis Schaeffer said, you can't hold two fingers up behind God's back and Him not know how many fingers you held up. No gaps in God's knowledge. And to say God is perfect in knowledge not only means that there are no gaps in His knowledge, there are no areas in which He is lacking in knowledge. He covers the whole spectrum. But it's also to say that He doesn't fail in His knowledge. He doesn't lapse in His knowledge. Now, I've told you that there are lots of things I know about, but I have temporary lapses. I hate to admit this because I look so very young, but I'm 55 years of age and I have a birthday coming up very soon. If I seem depressed and out of sorts tonight, that could be part of the explanation. Only part of it, mind you. And one of the things I have found since I got over 50 is that I have lapses. In fact, I can look right at some of you that I've known for 16 years and your name just eludes me for a moment. And that's a temporary lapse in knowledge. I know the knowledge is there, but I just can't call it up. It's easier for me to remember the names of Cardinal fans than it is Cubs fans. And your name is and sometimes I get ashamed of myself, and I even find I shouldn't be saying this, because you will say it's time to fire this Marian pastor and put him out to pasture. But I find myself standing in this pulpit and trying to call to mind without looking in the Bible, just trying to call to mind and quote verses that I have quoted for years, and they're not there. I mean, it's embarrassing sometimes. I hope I cover well. I find that I'm giving the gist of a lot of verses anymore. I'm not quoting, I'm just kind of giving the gist. Now, am I speaking your language tonight? God not only has no gaps in His knowledge, His knowledge covers the whole spectrum. But He doesn't have any lapses in His knowledge. What He knows, He always knows. What He knows is always right there. He doesn't have to say, like I do, well, now let me think about that for a moment. God is perfect in knowledge. And God doesn't make any mistakes because he's perfect in knowledge. Some of you keep wanting God to say oops, and God never has to say oops because God doesn't make any mistakes. Now, I do this all the time. In the exercise of my knowledge, I'll sit there in front of that computer screen and I'll begin typing away and I'll say, oops. Thank God there's a delete button on that keyboard. But my friends, God doesn't have a delete button anywhere in heaven. He doesn't need one. He doesn't make any mistakes. What did all this have to do with Job? Well, this is what it had to do with Job. Elihu was saying, Job, the trials that you are experiencing at this time have not come to you because God has failed. They have not come to you because God has had a temporary lapse. These trials that you are experiencing right now have come to you because this God, who is perfect in his knowledge, has designed that these trials should come to you. Now, can you believe tonight, brother in Christ, can you believe, sister in Christ, that whatever difficulties you have right now are present in your life because the God who is perfect in knowledge has determined that they should come your way? You see, what we constantly want to do is look at our circumstances and draw conclusions about God based on our circumstances. And what the Bible wants us to do is exactly the opposite. It wants us to judge our circumstances based on what we know about God. And I assure you tonight, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, that your circumstances, your difficulties, your hardships will be much easier for you to bear if you will understand all of them as coming from the hand of a Father who loves you more than you can possibly comprehend. Now, you all know about this, don't you? As parents, have you ever, as a parent, put your child through hardship of some kind? Ever taken your child and had a tooth pulled? Ever, some of you here have had to take your children to hospitals and surgery has had to be performed. And the child looks at that circumstance. Do you see this, how this is working now? The child looks at that circumstance. It's painful. And the child, on the basis of that circumstance, says, my dad, my mom must hate me, because if they loved me, they wouldn't put me in this situation in which I'm experiencing this pain. And yet you, as a parent, know the truth, don't you? You have put your child in that situation under perhaps the surgeon's knife, not because you hate that child, but because you love that child and you have that child's best interest at heart. And while you understand that in the human realm, you have a hard time understanding it in your relationship with God, don't you? And it's exactly the same. God loves you, and every situation that comes your way comes to you from the Father, who has a heart of love. A heart of love. Now, doesn't that make your circumstances much easier to bear, to know that they're given to you from the hand of one who has the heart of love? No, I'm not telling you you're going to understand them all. I'm not saying they're going to make sense to you. I'm not saying the pain is going to go away by knowing that. But I am saying to you that they're much easier to bear, knowing that they come to you from the hand of the one who has the heart of love. If you don't think there's comfort in that, just turn it around and say that your circumstances have come to you apart from God's sovereign rule Now, go home, try to sleep tonight on that. That's a hard pillow. I've got circumstances that have come to me apart from Almighty God. They're beyond His control. Now you've got reason to be afraid. If anything can happen to you that the Father can't control, I'd rather have it this way. I don't understand all that God sends my way, but I understand His heart of love. And if I just stay tuned, He'll explain it all to me by and by. Don't you love that old hymn, "Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land, but He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, and we'll understand it better by and by." And the circumstances that so befuddle and perplex you now, when you see them from God's perspective, will make perfect sense to you. When you finally come into His presence, and your testimony will be that He, God, has done all things well. Yes, that'll be your testimony on that day. Now, part of the problem, ladies and gentlemen, is we keep thinking that God's job is to make life comfortable and convenient for us. And when God doesn't make life comfortable and doesn't make it convenient, then we say, well, God has failed in His job. But God has a different purpose for us. Can we understand this tonight? God has a different purpose for us. His purpose is not just to make us comfortable and just not to make us make life convenient. His purpose, ladies and gentlemen, is to grow us into mature people who will reflect His image and bring glory to His name. He tells us there in Romans chapter 8, the thing that He is about in our lives is to conform us to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't you understand, with that purpose, God has to take an entirely different approach to governing our lives than He would take if His purpose were to make us comfortable and to make life convenient. I've told you before that my dad had a very clear idea of what his purpose in child rearing was. And it wasn't, I can tell you this, to make life easy. And he used to take positive delight in making life difficult for me. Because he believed only as young people learn to handle responsibility and only as they endured hardship would they be developed into responsible adults. And that was his idea. Now, some of you have got a holy terror on your hands because your idea when you brought that holy terror into this world is, well, we've got to make Junior as comfortable as we possibly can, and we mustn't let anything happen to Junior that'll make him uncomfortable. You should have had my dad around for Junior. You would have a different Junior on your hands. God had a purpose far greater than Job understood. And now Elihu has said, Job, the one who is working in your life is perfect in his knowledge. He's perfect in his knowledge. And you want to look at your circumstances and say, I don't understand, I don't understand. I want to understand. I want to have this knowledge. And the Bible doesn't say that you will have perfect knowledge of your situation. It just says to you that your situation comes to you from one who does have perfect knowledge. And then just a quick word about this. The second thing Elihu says here in these marvelous words, one who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Second thing he says is that this one who from his perfect knowledge has sent the trials will be with you in the midst of your trials. Isn't that good to know? the one who is perfect in his knowledge. And out of that perfect knowledge has devised and designed the hardship and the trials and the afflictions, is with you in the midst of those trials and afflictions. I love that verse there in Psalm 56, where the psalmist talks about God's bottle. And he prays, "Lord, put my tears into your bottle." And we've explored that text before, and we found when we looked at that back some time ago, that in order for God to put the tears of his people in a bottle, he has to be near enough to see that his people are crying, and he has to be close enough to catch those tears. Ladies and gentlemen, Job probably thought whenever he was in the midst of his trials that God was nowhere near the situation. God had completely abandoned him. But the God who in perfect wisdom allowed the afflictions to come did not abandon Job. And when Job felt most abandoned, God was in fact right there with him, strengthening him and helping him. And this is how the book of Job ends. It ends on a glorious note. It ends with Job being lost in wonder, love, and praise as he realized something of the greatness of God. We've talked before, and I don't have anything new to say to you tonight. We've talked before about that piece that someone wrote back many years ago, and this person had come into the presence of God, and now there in the presence of God, he was reviewing his life, and he saw the two sets of tracks, you remember, and he said, "Lord, there in that part of my life, I see that you were walking right with me. There are my tracks, and there are your tracks, but at that particular time in my life," and I remember that time well because the hardship was so great and the burdens were so heavy, the pain was so severe, and I can't understand why you forsook me, because look, there during that time there's only one set of tracks, and God said, "I did not leave you, I carried you." My dear people tonight, can you believe in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your trials, that God has not abandoned you? Can you believe that in those times when you feel most abandoned, that your God is carrying you? Well, I could say so much more. I could talk to you about how we know this God is perfect in knowledge, and how we know God is with us. The answer, of course, is as it always is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That cross of Christ proves that God is perfect in his knowledge and proves that God is present with his people. Let's bow together.